Welcome to the Divided Kingdom news program. This is Lou Caraway, Elizabeth Cuppet Caraway, and I are your weekly watchman, sounding the trumpet for religious and political danger. Warning, warning, Creeping Sharia Part 2 is the title of tonight's program. Or is it Jihad Beginning Stages? Elizabeth?
Well, Lou, there are elements of both. Long-time creeping stealth under the plan of Dawah and sudden frontal murderous assaults by radical Islam. This is Elizabeth Cuppet-Caverly, and I am heartened by the WorldNet Daily article from April 30th that we reported on, in which Reverend Franklin Graham called on President Trump to designate the Council on American Islam Relations, that is CAIR, C-A-I-R, as a terrorist organization. And here is a nutshell review of that. Franklin Graham asks Trump to label civil rights group terrorists, April 30th, 2019. CAIR, which was an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation terror financing case, already has been given that designation by the United Arab Emirates. Calling itself a Muslim civil rights organization, it aggressively tries to stamp out criticism of Islam with its, quote, lawfare campaign. Graham on Facebook discussed the reports that Trump is thinking about designating the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. While he's at it, the label should also be applied to CAIR, the Council on American Islamic Relations, which is the mouthpiece in Washington for radical Islam, he wrote. CAIR was created by operatives of Hamas, the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. Graham said the president, quote, is right about the Muslim Brotherhood. They should definitely be designated a terrorist group. The Muslim Brotherhood has been behind the killing of Christians around the world for decades. The destruction this group has brought to the churches and Christian population in Egypt is incredible. He continued, they are also responsible for killing other non-Muslims and even turning their violence on peaceful Muslims who disagree with them. They are already considered a terrorist organization by the governments of several countries, including Bahrain, Egypt, Russia, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. I'm thankful we have a president who is not afraid to take on extremist groups like this. CNN reported the Trump administration plans to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a, quote, foreign terrorist organization. It's, quote, working its way through the internal process, end of quote, according to White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. And now we have a little update. There, first of all, there was a follow-up article, and this indicated that the government, our government, is also possibly ready to designate NAIT, and that's the North American Islamic Trust, as a terrorist organization. Again, that's NAIT, the North American Islamic Trust. And we applaud this, and we urge the Spotlight of Truth to also expose and remove from the U.S. the Pennsylvania-located and CIA-connected Gulen and his terrorist compound there. This is atrocious, not to mention Gulen schools that are scattered over many U.S. states. And now we have a newer update on the situation with CAIR. And yeah. I have it. CAIR puts bullseye on Islamophobic organizations. And this was posted on May 7th, 2019. We're coming to you the first time you hear this program on May the 9th. And this was at WND, WorldNet Daily. The Council on American Islamic Relations named an unindicted co-conspirator in a terror funding trial and designated a terrorist group by the United Arab Emirates has issued a report blasting individuals in groups that fund charitable work it labels Islamophobic. While the term is defined as having or showing a dislike of or prejudice against Islam, it has been applied to anyone who criticizes its holy book's teaching that violence for the sake of establishing Sharia worldwide is justified. The report is endorsed by Heidi Barrick of the discredited Southern Poverty Law Center. She states CAIR's report, quote, should serve as a wake-up call to those foundations and donor-advised funds that have helped funnel resources to individuals and organizations that, quote, support the rising tide of hatred against the Muslim community, end of quote. Barrick and others as SPLC were sued in federal court in Washington, D.C. by the Center for Immigration Studies under the nation's organized crime law for, quote, falsely designating CIS as a, quote, hate group. CARE said it listed philanthropic foundations, quote, used by anonymous donors to funnel almost $125 million to anti-Muslim hate groups, end of quote. It identified as anti-Muslim hate groups organizations such as the Gatestone Institute, the Middle East Forum, the American Center for Law and Justice, the David Horowitz Freedom Center, Clarion Project, the Investigative Report on Terrorism, and the Center for Security Policy. Individuals attacked in the report include Brigitte Gabrielle and Daniel Pipes. The report criticizes the ACLJ, for example, for opposing proposals to teach Islam in public schools. The report states ACLJ deemed it outrageous for schools to teach that the three Abrahamic faiths worship the same God. I think there's something missing there. Teaching about the five pillars of Islamic faith, belief in one God, daily prayer, giving to charity, fasting, and pilgrimage to Mecca was said to be, quote, indoctrination. The report also blasts the Trump administration for its so-called Muslim ban, which in fact banned entry to people traveling from terror-sponsoring countries, including two that do not have a Muslim majority. The report claims, quote, several anti-Muslim bigots are building personal fortunes, advancing prejudice. They have raked in hundreds of thousands of dollars through their positions of leadership in anti-Muslim groups. CARE claims in its publicity about the report that because of the, quote, funding and promotion of anti-Muslim hate and conspiracy theories, there has been a, quote, measurable nationwide increase in often fatal anti-Muslim hate violence, bullying of children, and discrimination, end of quote. FBI statistics show an increase in the number of reported anti-Muslim incidents in the nation during 2001, when Muslim terrorists killed nearly 3,000 people in Washington and New York. There were 28 such reports in 2000 and 481 in 2001, but the reports dropped to 155 in 2002, and it has stayed close to that level since. The CARE report, Hijacked by Hate, that's its title, provides details on organizations that contribute to efforts that CARE claims are lobbying efforts to, quote, pass anti-Muslim laws and policies, end of quote. CARE is known for lobbying for Islamic influence in libraries, school curriculum, and college courses. It regularly sues to impose its agenda on companies and groups, such as a recent Texas case in which it sued because a gun range owner refused to grant a Muslim permission to use the range. The man had come armed with several weapons and belligerently had challenged the owner's practices. Oh, Lou, we're not supposed to interfere with these emigres. We're not to do a thing. That woman who's in Los Angeles in the sanctuary city and she's running that 103-year-old business, she should just keep her mouth shut when she looks out on the tent cities and everything. And I guess it has been reported by Dan Lyman and Europe Wars and Alex Jones on InfoWars and maybe Paul Joseph Watson. Anyway, there was a discussion throughout InfoWars about this that I believe it was Dan Lyman saying that these no-go zones, we almost have them here now. He said because of Antifa, you can't go into Portland, Oregon very well. And someone mentioned this woman with the 103-year-old business that she said there was only one policeman, perhaps, who could or would respond to her. Now, Lou, is that America? Is this overblown? Do you think we should be bowing to CARE?
Absolutely not. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. I don't know of a single incident that I could quote you about any Muslim being hurt in this country for any reason. I'm not saying there aren't any, but I don't know of them. But I could tell you plenty of other people that have been hurt. I don't see any Christians going around intimidating Muslims anywhere in this country. And yet Muslims are intimidating Christians, Jews, and others.
And, of course, we have this agenda, the Dawah. We know from Carol Matriciana's excellent documentary, Islam Rising, Dawah is a deception. These people who are rabidly in favor of the Sharia, they infiltrate the country They get into the government. They get in anywhere they can get into, in state government, in the congressional government. We know, we've been talking about these new figures. They get in and they pretend to assimilate, but they're not really assimilating. We know what the Quran advises, kill the infidels. Well, we're back now, and weren't you surprised when you heard that CARE lobbies for influence, Islamic influence in libraries, school curriculum, and college courses? So now, this man, we say, had come armed with weapons to a private owner's home, you see, and he was supposed to let him use his range. Back to the article, CARE claims there are 1,096 organizations, quote, responsible for funding 39 groups. Now, they're talking about the anti-Muslim groups that they say are the hate groups. The funders include household names such as Fidelity and Schwab, as well as community-centered faith-based charities such as the Jewish Communal Fund and the National Christian Charitable Foundation. They also include lesser-known and more opaque private family foundations such as the Murawski Family Foundation Incorporated, which has virtually no public imprint, but nonetheless contributes millions of dollars to support anti-Muslim activity, CARE said. Zainab Arain, CARE's advocacy manager, said the funding, quote, is a shameful institutional feature of American philanthropy, end of quote. The report puts President Trump at the center of an, quote, anti-Muslim Hydra administration. Oh, isn't that a new moniker? Now, we have a president at the helm of an anti-Muslim Hydra administration. Well, I believe in mythology the Hydra had many heads. Wasn't it sort of a snake-like creature?
Yeah, and I think as fast as you could chop off one head, another one grew in its place.
I would say when we're looking at all of these Muslim attacks in Europe and all of these rapes of the young girls and all of the things that have happened, even the Somalis in the park in Maine, I would think this Hydra has plenty of heads. It should be the, you know, it should just tell the truth, what it is. CARE should tell what it is. Commentator, we're back to the article. Michelle Malkin recently recounted CARE's radical origin and track record. She wrote, never forget, the federal government designated CARE an unindicted terror co-conspirator in 2007 in the prosecution of the Holy Land Foundation and others for providing support to violent Hamas jihadists. And we had told you about that before, so we won't give you entirely all of that to hear that again. But moving on, never forget, federal law enforcement investigators banned interactions with CARE to, quote, prevent CARE from publicly exploiting such contacts with the FBI. And now we do get some details here that I think are very important, and this is probably still from Michelle Malkin. Never forget, Ghassan Elashi, a founding board member of CARE's Texas chapter, was convicted of laundering money for Hamas terrorism. CARE's civil rights director, Randall Todd Royer, trained with the Al-Qaeda-linked jihad group Lashkar-e-Taiba, and was convicted of conspiring to engage in terror activities. Bassem Kafaji, former CARE Community Affairs Director and a founder of the Sharia-promoting Islamic Assembly of North America. And now we note, this is another organization that has always been under scrutiny. It's ISNA. I guess that's I-A-N-A, Islamic Assembly of North America. Was deported back to his home country of Egypt after being convicted for bank and visa fraud. Never forget, CARE officials in California rushed in front of cameras after the San Bernardino jihad attack in 2015 to blame American foreign policy instead of the killers. CARE provided aid, comfort, and legal assistance to the mass shooters' families. Never forget, last summer, CARE stoked a fake hate crime perpetrated by an Odessa, Texas waiter who falsely claimed he received a customer's receipt with the message, "We don't tip terrorists." Never forget, CARE disseminated the fake claims of a deranged Muslim New York teenager who lied about having her hijab ripped off by Trump supporters. Never forget, CARE helped manufacture the Clock Boy fake hate claim in Texas, after which Clock Boy jetted off to Qatar to cash in on a Muslim Brotherhood-linked educational scholarship. Never forget, pair has flexed its censorship muscle by squelching critics of Somalia-based jihad group Al-Shabaab in Minnesota and smearing them as anti-Muslim, even if they were Muslim. Never forget, CARE works every day to silence Muslim reformers, apostates, Christians, Jews, infidel scholars, border security advocates, anti-Sharia activists, and investigative independent journalists on college campuses, TV airwaves, and the Internet to prevent us from exposing the truth about Islamic supremacism. And then WorldNet Daily had compiled a list of individuals linked to CARE who had been charged with terror-related crimes. They were Ghassan Elashi, Muthana Al-Hanouti, there are some others. We won't go into all of it. Abdurrahman Alamoudi, Siraj Wahaj, Randall Ismail Royer, Bassam Kafaji, Alara Jug Leet. Let's see if we have a few more here. Hold on. Nihad Awad, Omar Ahmad, Nabil Sadoun, Mohammed Nimer, Rafiq Jaber. So some of these were caught with wiretap evidence from the Holy Land case, you see, and it kind of revealed what they were really doing. Rabith, Hadid, Hamza, Yusuf. So now we see that we're beginning to scrutinize, and well we should, this group. I think now we have to move back to Lou, because it sounds as though we needed those violins again, Lou. The pity party on CARE. But what's really happening? We said, are we into a creeping Sharia? Or are we into something like a jihad? And what in the world is going on with this U.S. school? Do I have that yet?
Well,
I guess I do, don't I?
I have one thing about a cartoon.
Oh, yes, I think, you know, let's go back. You have something very important before I bring this one. First of all, we have to laugh a little bit, but then we're going to shock you with the latest news. No, not in Europe, but in America. So, yes, we had a little bit of humor, didn't we, Lou?
Yes, we did. While Nero fiddled, Rome burned. As our borders disintegrate further and hordes rush in, the Democratic Party theater diverts us with AOC's insane green plan, Bernie's sociopathic socialism, and Biden's late life bit. Noted Eastern Shore cartoonist Rick Collinger gives us our laugh of the day. He depicts two figures seated in the Happy Days, spelled D-A-Z-E, retirement village. The one on the left, having wheeled his chair into park, a small table, his eyes narrowed in a smirk and a huge mouth unhinged wide in a cartoonist jackass smile. All teeth, no lips. He barely notices the shivering, blanket-wrapped, and frail figure to his right. The first speaker pipes up glibly, "Bernie, we're the faces of the new Democratic Party." His crotchety, creaky comrade only laments, "Why is it so cold in here?"
Yes, we do have to laugh. And, you know, today, Alex Jones, and actually it was yesterday when you hear this program, he remarked that it was important that we live our private lives. And I'm glad he's realizing that at age 45. That's very important because he's a father of three children. And it is very important that we take care of those God has entrusted to us, our family members. The Bible says if we don't do that, we're no better than an infidel. And I believe that God always rewards us if we, as individual Christians, try to do what's right. And right now, coming to my mind comes the thought of a radio personality that Lou and I, whom Lou and I thought we wanted to join at one point, but we found out later that this personality just dumps people quickly, and they never get to say goodbye on the air, and he's done this to various people. And when we think about that, that's not a good Christian witness, we think, because the way you live your life should involve the golden rule. So that I think that when we look back at times in our lives, if we disobeyed God, for example, me, with the time I refused to tutor a small child in the summer, and God really lowered the boom on me. I got ill, and I never again worked. I got ill with lupus, and I know that there was anger. There was anger there with God because I didn't obey. We tried to share the story of the King James Version Bible, all of that wonderful material that we presented on air that several of you have written to us about, that Dr. Gail Ripplinger and Dr. Noah Hutchings had in their important little book. And Lou thinks it's perhaps still available on Amazon at a high price. The Southwest Radio Church sadly does not continue to print that book. What an oversight. At any rate, we approached a minister. We approached him four different times. We even lent that CD set to him. Nothing. And we learned that this man had a terrible fall not too long ago. And I had felt that the Lord told me in the Bible he was very angry with this man. Very angry. In other ways, he was a very good pastor. But you see, if we don't obey the Lord in our private lives, if we're hypocrites, how do we expect a blessing on anything we do? Isn't that right, Lou?
Oh, that's absolutely right. If we can't live the life he has taught us to live in our own lives, then what good is it?
No. And so now, I think, without further ado, after hearing all this whitewash that CARE and the Southern Poverty Law Center figures wanted to do, this whitewashing, this brushstroke, and we remember well how Captain Darrell Eberhardt told us, and we saw it in the books of Paul Williams, that one way Muslims got their foot in the door, the radical Islam Muslims, was to come and have a storefront, and then it would become a mosque. So don't kid yourself. We're saying again, there's great danger. We think we're in judgment, that it is akin to God when the Israelites would not follow him and when they were burning their babies to Moloch and they were up in those groves. He warned them many times. But what took over was an infiltration of the country by the pagans, the other gods, god worshippers. And we think that's what's happening. And this is the beginning stages, but it isn't going to be pretty. So, Lou, this is not Belgium. This is not Munich. This is not Stockholm. Is it what you
have? No, it's not. We have a headline from Fox News published on May the 3rd, 2019. The title, Shocking Video of Children in Philadelphia Muslim Society. We will chop off their heads for Allah. This is by Caleb Park. Disturbing footage of Muslim kids saying they would sacrifice themselves and kill for the, quote, army of Allah, unquote, surfaced from an Islamic center in Philadelphia. The Muslim Society, make that the Muslim American Society, or MAS, Islamic Center in Philadelphia, posted the video to its Facebook page celebrating Ummah Day, U-M-M-A-H Day, in which young children wearing Palestinian scarves sang and read poetry about killing for Allah and the mosque in Jerusalem. The Middle East Media Research Institute, MEMRI, a watchdog group, alerted Fox News to the video. Memory said in a statement, quote, these are not isolated incidents. They are happening in major centers of the country, including in Pennsylvania, unquote. In the video, translated by Memory, kids can be heard singing, quote, the land of the Prophet Muhammad's night journey is calling us. Our Palestine must return to us. One girl talks about martyrs sacrificing their lives without hesitation to conquer Jerusalem. A second girl says, quote, we will defend the land of divine guidance with our bodies, and we will sacrifice our souls without hesitation. We will chop off their heads, and we will liberate the sorrowful and exalted Al-Aqsa Mosque. We will lead the army of Allah, fulfilling his promise, and we will subject them to eternal torture, unquote. MAS Philly belongs to the Muslim American Society, which has 42 chapters in the United States and one in the United Kingdom. MAS's website says that its mission is to, quote, move people to strive for God consciousness, liberty, and justice, and to convey Islam with utmost clarity. And its vision is, quote, is a virtuous and just American society. In its latest press release, MAS condemns the synagogue shooting in California. Quote, "Hate has no place in our society. In an era where we've seen an increase in hate crimes, including rising Islamophobia and anti-Semitism, we must stand tall together in solidarity." Ayman Hamous, executive director of MAS, said in a statement, "These acts of terror in places of worship and against humanity cannot become the norm." MAS did not immediately respond to requests for comment.
And I have to interject, Lou. An apple and a prickly pear are not the same thing. When we try to link anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, we get what you said. How many Jewish attacks in America have we seen on Islamic mosques?
That's right. How many?
Zero, I think.
I think so. And how many Jews were responsible for killing 3,000 people in a few hours in New York City?
Zero.
Zero is right.
Go ahead.
Well, that is the end of that particular.
Well, you know, thank you. And it's apparent, Lou, that the article you just read is not just a terribly shocking anomaly, because Philadelphia is such a large urban center of embedded Democratic Party radical leftism joined to immense power from the Philadelphia Islamic Center. And by the way, we've heard something of, we don't know if this is a direct quote, that some of the Democrats have actually said they have an agenda from Satan. We're going to look for that in the news. But we do know that every last candidate has had something to say about the Second Amendment. They're coming for your guns. Cory Booker has done it. And here in Maryland, we've seen already there's been one tragic death from the red flag gun law. So, you know, things are going to be push and pull, push and pull. So I'm sure that those of you who think about what may lie down the road have to really be careful. And we're not sure what it means with the NRA shakeup of, help me, Lou.
The one who left, Oliver North?
Yes, Oliver North. With him going out and Wayne LaPierre being put back in, we're not sure. We always wondered the truth, the real truth about Ollie North. We knew that Dr. Stan Monteith interviewed him, but we were never sure because we had seen a DVD of that time with Rex 84 where Congress told him, shut up, we'll talk about it, things back of closed doors. We've heard a revisionist thing, that it wasn't as ominous, that it was really to protect the patriots. So we're never sure about these national figures. Remember, Dr. Stan told us, Lou, that in his experience, practically every conservative organization had been infiltrated and changed.
Yes, that's right.
So we really don't contribute to any of them. It was one that came today, and it looked very good, but I realized, let it do some good. We're not contributing. And we were advised by Deborah Tavares never to hit the button on your phone to cancel something. If they say, go off the list, or you're never to take a survey. We just don't participate in those things. Wouldn't it be better to be a little anonymous? That's what I think. But now, when I just said to you that, rather cynically, that this is a shocking anomaly, that horrible thing about cutting off the heads, oh my goodness, that this is just an anomaly. It's not anything bad going on anywhere else. No, all we have is Islamophobia. But, you know, I guess I'm going to have to jump cross-country to the Derringer School District in Lake Taps, Washington. This note is the western state of Washington, not the terminally ill Washington, D.C. No, the illness here is one in the rabid opening stages of a disease that's spreading tentacles with the total control of the New World Order and Sharia working together that will emerge years later, and possibly aided by those big tech companies, by AI, the artificial intelligence, and the plan actually to cull 90% of the population. I heard Mike Adams yesterday of Natural News. He said this is the plan, and that eventually there will be false flags, and they may be sort of biological incidents, or they may have an EMP strike, something to keep getting the cattle herded till they finally have the control they want to cull them. And we realize that this AI deception, this idea that they can upload or download, whichever it is, our souls, and they will be immortal in the internet cloud. This is a lie. This is a lie just like Hitler used with Jews. You know, they were going to be going down there and taking a shower. They really weren't going to be taking a shower very long. And so here we have this idea that we'll be immortal, but what will be done to us will be those who are alive at that time. They'll be fighting for their lives because they just mean to kill off humanity. This is a satanic kind of assault on humanity, period. It's like the Georgia Guidestones, in which the mysterious person there are Christians. Some think he was a Rosicrucian. I guess had it built decades ago in Elberton, Georgia, where it has the Ten Commandments of the New World Order, and one of them is to keep the Earth's population in balance at 500 million. So we are aware that there is a terrible agenda going on, and sadly, Alex Jones and Mike Adams talked about how sleepy and lazy the people are in general, not you listeners. And if you would like to help keep us on the air, you realize that we've sacrificed for 15 years now with our own money. We have no help except from a few listeners. You can write to us at P.O. Box 28. Make sure you get that box number right. 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. You can write to Lou Caverly. We'll take a little cash or some postage stamps, but we can't take checks written directly to us. They must be written to WWCR. We can take money orders also, left blanks for WWCR to use. Mike Adams talked about a study that was done with bacteria. And when they were left alone and they were fed well, the bacteria just kept growing weaker and weaker and weaker. But when they left off some of the food, there were fewer food resources, then they began to fight and develop chemicals to live. Do you see that this censorship that's going on, taking Alex Jones and taking Paul Joseph Watson, I mean, what a gentleman he is. How can anyone call him a terrorist? That is so ludicrous. But they are taking them off the platform so that they can control this narrative. And then Mike Adams says once they get that controlled, then they have these scenarios, possibly this biological warfare or the EMP, maybe a cosmic false flag, a faked alien invasion that he was told about one time. I think there could be some other things that could be used too. Mike Adams said something important. He said we are fortunate to have Alex Jones, that he will go down in history as a champion of freedom. And Paul Joseph Watson, being labeled a terrorist, he said he should be given a medal. They both should be given medals. He said, Mike Adams said, patriots should be given the kind of medal of freedom that President Trump recently gave a golfer. Yes, I think so. I think we need to get our priorities straight. And Mike said that the human race has been here before. We saw Nazi Germany. And so he means that we're going to have to face again what was faced before Hitler could implement the Holocaust. Mike says he had to use the propaganda and fool the people too. Now, I said I was moving now to the state of Washington. This is WorldNet Daily, May 6th. A public school instructing teachers to greet Muslims during Ramadan with Ramadan Mubarak and adjust test schedules is raising the specter of official district endorsement of Islam, contends a nonprofit legal group. The Freedom of Conscience Legal Defense Fund is warning the Dieringer, that's spelled capital D-I-E-R-I-N-G-E-R, a little bit like John Derringer, isn't it? Warning the Dieringer School District in Lake Taps, Washington, about its implementation of guidelines issued by the Terror Link Council on American-Islamic Relations. Here we go again, Lou. It's CARE. CARE is back.
That's right.
After CARE wrote to the school suggesting various changes in policy and practice that would benefit Muslim students, District Superintendent Judy Martinson implemented CARE's suggestions as official district policy. She distributed the CARE letter to school principals, who in turn circulated it to all teachers and staff, FCDF said. Quote, by urging teachers to bless Muslim students in Arabic, the district is running roughshod over the First Amendment's mandate of government neutrality toward religion, said Daniel Piedra, FCDF's executive director. Quote, a school district would never order teachers to welcome Catholic students during Easter with, He is risen, Alleluia. Singling out Muslim students for special treatment is blatantly unconstitutional. A parent in the district had raised questions about the move. In response, FCDF, and again, that's the Freedom of Conscience Legal Defense Fund, sent a memo to Martinson contending the district is violating the Constitution by favoring Muslim students. To be clear, FCDF sent a memo to Martinson. And we saw that before. To be clear, nothing in the Constitution prohibits public schools from accommodating students' religious exercise to the extent it would not interfere with educational interests, the letter said. But the religious liberty protected by the Constitution is abridged when a state affirmatively sponsors religious practice. Here, by issuing the care letter to district employees, you acted under color of state law to create an official policy that has a primary effect of advancing religion. The Ramadan policy, in both adoption and implementation, plainly imposes liability on the district under the United States and Washington Constitutions. Piedra said the case, quote, is yet another attempt by CARE to infiltrate uninformed school districts so it can advance its subversive agenda. CARE must not be allowed to indoctrinate impressionable school children under the guise of diversity and cultural awareness, he said. FCDF is committed to keeping CARE out of our America's public schools. The letter explains the Supreme Court has been emphatic in stating that school officials must make sure no policy conveys a message that a particular religion or a particular religious belief is favored, preferred, or promoted over other beliefs. FCDF said the district's Ramadan policy raises the specter of impermissible government endorsement of religion. CARE's recommendation, FCDF said, likely violates the establishment clause's demand that the government remains neutral toward religion. CARE told the district it should formally add Muslim holidays to school calendars, schedule tests on days other than the holidays, allow makeup tests and assignments, and tell students their absences on those days can be excused. But FCDF argued that the preservation and transmission of religious beliefs and worship is a responsibility and a choice committed to the private sphere. Quote, religious adherence, such as observances, is the parents' responsibility, not the public schools. To that end, school officials may neither encourage nor discourage students from availing themselves of an excused absence for religious reasons. The instruction that teachers greet students with an Islamic greeting is particularly troubling, the letter said. Ramadan Kareem derives from, quote, the fact that God gives his worshipers blessings during the month of Ramadan, wrote FCDF. A reasonable student would unquestionably perceive them to be stamped with her school's seal of approval. FCDF asks the district to respond with a letter to staff and faculty that states, CARE's letter advocates legal positions and policy preferences beyond the requirements of state and federal law. The district, therefore, will no longer rely on the views expressed in the letter. A little farther down the road in Europe, what will it be like here, Lou?
Here's a headline, U.S. Muslim school kids sing Khamenei is our leader. And this is from WorldNet Daily, March 25th, 2019.
Yes, we can't move on to Europe yet. What am I thinking?
Oh.
What am I thinking? We really have to stumble in the dark because of the MSM, all the lies that are being told, all the people who are being suppressed by the big tech giants, Google, Facebook, Twitter. No, if we don't stand up pretty soon, it won't just be Alex Jones who will be gone and Paul Joseph Watson. The divided kingdom, little as we are, will be gone from shortwave. But when that happens, what will be the case in your neighborhood? What will it be? Will you be in a no-go zone? Well, let's hear the latest, Lou.
Students at a Muslim school in Houston, Texas, celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Islamic...
Oh, okay. I guess we have equal opportunity for Philadelphia,
yes,
for the state of Washington, and now the home of the famed Alamo. My goodness. Freedom,
right.
gatepost.
So those students in Houston celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran with condemnation of U.S. sanctions against the rogue regime and declarations that the Ayatollah, quote, is our leader, unquote. A video of the celebration at the Islamic Education Center of Houston on February 20th was uploaded to the school's YouTube channel, according to the Middle East Media Research Institute, or MEMRI. Morteza Kazemian, a 10th grader, said the United States continues to sanction Iran because it is scared of the Islamic nation. The crowd chanted in response, quote, away with the humiliation, Allah Akbar, Khamenei is our leader, unquote. The reference was to the Ayatollah, who serves as Iran's supreme leader. In addition, young boys wearing scarves and green headbands sang a song for the Ayatollah. And these are the words, we are your followers, you are our leader, we are your soldiers, and together we can all be your power. May Allah always keep your hand upon us. A warrior just like the Battle of Khaybar. May you always be the light to our guidance, unquote. Press TV anchor Marzia Hashemi spoke briefly at the ceremony through a video call. MEMRI, that is the Middle East Media Research Institute, noted that Hashemi recently was arrested and detained by the FBI during a visit to the United States. Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, asked, quote, what are the chances that these children will grow up to be loyal, patriotic Americans? Around zero, unquote. He pointed to the 10th grader's remarks, quote, he is standing in Texas and speaking English and assuming, as clearly everyone on the hall is assuming, that America is a foreign power and an enemy of his country, Iran, unquote. And we have something now we're going to go overseas.
And you know, I think before you go overseas, we have to be thinking again about this Dawah and this infiltration. This infiltration into our Congress. And we had a headline here from Fox News, April 24th. Ocasio-Cortez called out for social media silence in wake of Sri Lanka terror attacks. And here's just a little bit of it. Twitter-obsessed AOC posted 14 times about the terror attack on Muslims in New Zealand, but has posted nothing about the terror attack on Christians by Muslim extremists in Sri Lanka. Very odd. And that was from the DailyMail.com. Editor-at-large Piers Morgan tweeted, fact, AOC tweeted about the horrific tragedy in New Zealand 14 times. She tweeted about the attack on Christians in Sri Lanka zero times. Why? Seconded Turning Point USA's Charlie Kirk. Then Fox News' Lucas Micheliani reported April 24th, Ocasio-Cortez's reaction differs starkly compared with the aftermath of the terror attack in New Zealand last month, where 50 Muslims were brutally gunned down by a white supremacist. Following the attack in New Zealand, Ocasio-Cortez tweeted numerous times, seizing on the terror attack to criticize the Trump administration and propose tougher gun control measures in the U.S. Do we see the underlying, the real purpose? The real purpose is not to get beneficent views and approbation for Muslims. It's to use the Muslims to take away all of our freedoms, including America's guns. Well, she also wrote, this is AOC again, daily reminder that we have a Muslim ban in this country made out of the president's hostility to Muslim people with little to no supporting evidence, and a Republican Party that tolerates it. There is so much work to do. Removing the ban is number one. Now, let's move across the pond and see what lies in wait for us.
Elizabeth raised the question why Gulen is still ensconced, safe under protection shadow government up in the hills of Pennsylvania.
Protection of the shadow government, we were saying, yes.
That's right. With his Islamic military compound. Why have Britain, Germany, Sweden, and so on sold out their countries to the One World Order, UN Vatican plan of a borderless world, a world where beloved Western civilization and culture are destroyed? Here is more evidence. Radical Islam is a New World Order tool, a plan to change British life to Sharia, until at last the elite destroy Sharia too in that final coup. From Jihad Watch, May 6, 2019, just where do these Muslim kids get in the UK get it from? And this is in quotes, a secret government report warns over 48 British Islamic schools are teaching intolerance, misogyny to future imams, unquote. You'll notice the most important question was not asked in the Mail, and this is the Daily Mail, I believe, from London, article, and that is, who funds these madrasas? Unsurprisingly, the Saudi Kingdom, but surprisingly, it is the UK government itself.
Now, we're going to have to interrupt again. You see, we're letting you know that from the best of our study and from those giants like Dr. Stan Monteith and Joan Vian, who studied the world government, the emergence of the One World Order, we can look and see that there were many false flags and there is a cover-up going on. And we're not allowed to have all the truth. We told you last time that we knew about a prison, and this was a high maximum prison, and we were trying to get the name of it, and now we have the information for you, and this came from actually Fox News when they were discussing Munir El Mossadegh, who was convicted for the role in the 9/11 attacks, and he was a free man after Germany deportation. But that article said this: the only other person sentenced in relation to 9/11, co-conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui, has been serving a life sentence without parole in Colorado's ADX Florence, the same facility that houses Boston bomber Jokar Tsarnaev, Unabomber Ted Kaczynski, and other al-Qaeda operatives like shoe bomber Richard Reed. Now, I'm going to comment that this is the House of the Patsies. And Lou's comment, maximum security, so they can't talk to the outside world, huh? Remember when you said that?
Oh, yes.
ADX Florence, doesn't that have the ring of kind of a mind control feeling? ADX Florence, pretty ominous. But you see, people can't go in there. They cannot go in there and interview them. As far as I can see, I think that it stated that somewhere, that it's a maximum security, and so everything's being covered up. Now, isn't it rather strange that we never hear the Queen of England coming out against the takedown of those wonderful things that are part of her civilization? We're not going to have people revering Charles Dickens, all of his great books, are we, in 20 years?
Doesn't look that way.
We're going to have people defecating on the streets and beheading other people. We aren't going to have any schools that are going to be teaching about A Tale of Two Cities. I think that Margaret Thatcher, one time, this was mentioned on what was the program on PBS that had all the great British literature. You know who I'm what I'm talking about.
I think it was Masterpiece Theater.
That was it, Masterpiece Theater. I think that when they presented A Tale of Two Cities, which talked about the French Revolution, and you see the two cities were London and Paris, wonderful book, in which there was a doctor, I can't think of his name just now, like a Manetti, that's not quite right.
Manette, I think.
Manette, yes. And he was reclaimed. He had been so brutalized in all of this that he had sort of lost his mind. But he came back. You see, we can all be resilient if God helps us. And so at any rate, it was a wonderful story. And, of course, it pointed out the excesses of the kind of rabid Jacobinite things that are like Antifa today, and then the excesses that went into Robespierre and that reign of terror. But Margaret Thatcher, I think, said that she gave a copy of A Tale of Two Cities to de Gaulle. And, you know, that was a very interesting thing. I never forgot that story, because what we should defend is our great Christian civilization, the heritage, and books are a part of that. But now you've given the bombshell. You see the plot. We can see that nothing is as it is. Why should the British government be helping to finance these 48 schools that are indoctrinating and changing the whole culture and tearing down the roots of Great Britain? Let's pick it up from there.
The main driving force for Muslims to send their children to madrasas for girls is to keep them separate from boys entirely. And for the boys, it is to have them learn the Quran and the Sharia, which is taught as being above secular law. Young imams are being trained in a network of Islamic schools across the United Kingdom that have been accused of promoting intolerance and misogyny, a secret government report has warned. The report claims preachers emerging from some of the dozens of Darul Uloom madrasas scattered across Britain have views as extreme as those held by radical clerics who moved to the UK from Islamic countries and may spread them to worshippers. The children are indoctrinated in Saudi Wahhabi ideology, which is true Orthodox Islam. It espouses, and this is also in quotes, it espouses the literal following of the Quran and is used by the hardline Islamic movement, Deobandism, whose training schools produced the Taliban in Pakistan and in Afghanistan. The ban on music is similar to the one imposed by Islamic State, which carried out public floggings on those who broke the rule. These kids are not being prepared to become functioning members of the larger communities. They rarely keep to the state syllabus. 4 years ago, it was investigated by Ofsted after leaflets stating that music and dancing were acts of the devil were found on its premises. The school, which is around 175 pupils, was also exposed by a Channel 4 investigation in 2011 that found pupils being taught to hate Jews, Christians, and Hindus. And as they are taught from the Quran and Hadiths, it follows that they will learn to hate the Christians and Hindus and other infidels.
That's really pretty shocking. Is that the end of that article?
Yes, that's the end of that
one.
And
now I believe that you have the no-go zones. Let's just give a little taste of this again. We can see that we have to have part three of Creeping Sharia or Imminent Jihad. We're going to have that before we can go back in to the changing America, the moral values, and some very shocking information that we have there. But this is so important that you have the warnings in your communities. We know right down there in Nashville where wonderful WWCR is, there are mosques, there is activity going on. And so we do want to warn all of you. We are very grateful to be on WWCR Thursday evenings on 4.840 megahertz at 8 o'clock Eastern Time and on the Internet, WWCR.com. And we're also grateful to be on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. All right, let's hear about the no-go zones.
This is entitled UPS Starts Deliveries to Muslim No-Go Zone. And this is from WorldNet Daily, March 3rd, 2019. The international delivery company, UPS, will no longer deliver packages in a Muslim-majority neighborhood in Malmo, Sweden, for security reasons. The Swedish daily newspaper, Sydvenskan, I hope I pronounced that right, Sydvenskan, reported a customer in the Rosengård district of Malmo received notice from UPS that the company no longer delivers to private addresses there because of the risk of being exposed to robbery or other crimes. PostNord Sverige, the Swedish postal company, does not deliver packages to another area in Malmo. Sevet, said Matthias Krummel of PostNord, quote, "We must think of our staff in the first place," unquote. A UPS employee said home delivery in Rosengård was stopped 2 months ago after drivers were attacked. Even in some areas in Stockholm, UPS has stopped the delivery of parcels, Sydvenskan reported. The employee told the newspaper, quote, "The stop will not be forever, but we will wait until it feels safe for our drivers," unquote. Noting the delivery shutdown is happening in heavily Muslim Malmo, Jihad Watch director pointed out that anyone who claims no-go zones exist is branded as a racist, bigoted, Islamophobe. The Rosengård district of Malmo was one of 14 notorious no-go zones. Visit visited by author Rahim Kassam for his book, No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. Kassam said daily reports of attacks, often with knives or vehicles, have been reported in Germany, France, Belgium, Italy, Spain, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. But such attacks are almost never seen in Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic, which have barred Muslim immigration. That's the end of that article.
I think it's so important that you pray to our Savior, Jesus Christ, about what he would have you do. We have given our all as far as our money, our time, our talents. Should you not try to let your church know? There will be a few people who will be open to understanding this. Should you not talk to some of the leaders in your communities to be watchful before the mosques take over everything, before everything comes? Should you not be watching who is up for election in your area? I think these are all important things. Please pray to the Lord. We would like some millennials to find out about our program. And if it is laid upon your heart to try to tell some of your grandchildren or your children to hear us and to go to our website, thedividedkingdom.org. It's pretty well up to date. They can hear the very vital program that we did on the destruction of the Notre Dame Cathedral, and then the next program, the aftermath of it, too. There is much that they can find in that website. When we talked about the King James Version of the Bible, that program played not too long ago. You can look in the archives. It gives a description of all of our programs. We really hope and pray that some of you will take advantage of it. And we do wish to thank those of you who have written us letters and who have given us a little bit of financial help. It does inspire us. It does strengthen us very, very much, because every little bit counts. We know this is true. The Lord doesn't let anything be wasted. His eye is on that little sparrow, isn't it, Lou?
That's exactly right, yes.
And we just thank the Lord. It's still my Father's world. We look out, we see the beautiful cardinals, red-headed woodpeckers, all kinds of beautiful birds and animals. We see that God is still in control of this world, this round world. It's not a flat earth. We've heard that somebody who called to find out some more biographical information of the author of that flat earth book found out, oh, he was a Jesuit, but he repented and he found the Lord. Well, maybe so. There's a lot of disinfo everywhere. Beware of it and read your Bible. The Bible says the circle of the earth. Thank you for listening. Good night.